Yes.
We're back. This whole idea of going to the fets and so on, when we were off air, we were saying normally it's the people who really can't afford to do these things that do it. Oliver, you had a theory.
Right. I was saying, like, when you feel depressed, you feel down, like, you would just go out to the rum shop, breeze with, relax with friends and drink a rum and, you know, temporarily feel better.
And so, what was your thoughts on that? Does that work? Should we cut down on that? Should we continue to do that for our stability mentally? What are your thoughts?
It depends. If you can maintain it, then go ahead, sure. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't cause a breakdown in the family, you know, cause problems with money.
But some people think that they can maintain it, but then when they get to the supermarket, as Ruth was saying earlier, you got most of your money spending in the supermarket, and you get only still got bills to pay. And I know so many people have told me they've been choosing between medication and bottled gas, food and which bill. And it just seems like you juggling, and you never ever capturing. Or, and I think we gotta go beyond this, you know. When we talk about things like wealth creation and so on, I don't think that we should struggle. There must be some strategy at some point. And again, this I will put this one on our leaders. I think people gotta read more and look at these things, you know, the Dave Ramsey, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. They got these theories that I think we need to look into in terms of how do you move from that position of choosing between bottle gas and medication to actually being able to have your bills covered for 6 months and saving to go on a vacation. Each and everybody listening to this program can do it, because I've read of many authors who have done it. Mm-hmm. But are we, that's one of, like Lorenzo said, starting from that, I want my soapboxes though. They always learn about all kinds of things at school and don't learn about money management. Yes. Wealth, you don't learn that one of the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Safia, come.
Yeah, what I was, right. Yeah. And what I was going to say was, mm-hmm. I read quite a few of those books, mm-hmm. as well. And everybody always starts with saying, take stock of what you have existing. Mm-hmm. I think what has happened over the years is that people, bills may have been going up like little bit by little bit, and people haven't actually stepped back and take a stock. So all of a sudden, you might have been 2 years ago, the money that you had might have been working for what you were doing. Mm-hmm. You continue to do what you were doing, prices were easing up a little bit, you weren't really studying it, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, is it 18th, is it 20th, my bank account empty, understand that. So you have to step back now and take a stock. And most of those authors will say, start by keeping just actually looking at what are you spending your money on, because you'll find that sometimes people, you will ask them, you had $100 this week. Were you ready? You all of a sudden, you look in your purse, $100 gone. Right, tell you already know,
yeah,
the money gone. And you will know what you're spending money on. So a lot of those authors will say, start by taking stock of mm-hmm. what you are actually spending your money on. And it may be as boring as keeping a notebook, taking a picture, everything that you buy, the little $5 that you spend, the little drink that you buy here, $3 and whatever. And you look back and realize, oh, I actually bought 20 of them this month. That is $60. That could have been a whole, you know, credit topic for my phone or whatever. So once you step back and take stock, you may then be able to move things around accordingly. But I think the hardest thing to do is to try to figure out how to balance things when you don't even know what is going on within your own purse. So you have to start, set back and say, okay, what am I actually spending my money on? And then start to move things accordingly.
All right, so I could put four in terms of teaching people about budgeting and so on. Something like that.
Definitely.
Number four. So we got four concrete things that people could do. So the programming we can actually go home now, have some Sunday lunch, right?
Indeed.
So I mean, when you talk about when you break the $100, it's something, I ain't gonna say fully, but it reminds me of something. Like, I mean, $100 is almost something like air. I can leave that one right there.
But you see, I tell people all the time, I find once you break a note and you got coins, somehow the money that's being, it's so ridiculous, right?
Everybody has that experience from the time. But I want to go deep, because I know these programs is going, the time is going so fast. Ruth, earlier you were talking about things getting harder and harder. You go down from two chickens to one, and you gotta try things in between. Probably somebody was trying a little sardine, and they even them gonna, you know, too, but you try a little sardine in between there, or something that they said before. I heard coming up, people that used to eat meat every day. You see me eat meat on Sundays or twice a week or something. No, today you cannot have food without meat, unless you're Rastafarian or vegan or something. You have to have a piece of meat on that food. I want to know how hard is hard. Or how hard is a slab of pork too, but half pig by the plate, right? Yes. How hard is too hard? In terms of things getting hard, I don't want to get in your business. I'm not Mr. Ellis, right? But you ever had to go sleep in these recent times hungry without something to eat? Tell me about that.
No.
So I mean, ain't too hard yet then, but tell me.
It's hard, but
I learned to eat smaller portions mm-hmm. and forget sometimes about the meat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I love sardines. Mm-hmm. The price gone up, it's true, but I still buy them. Mm-hmm. So if I can't have chicken or pork, and pork is up, fish, even going to the fish market and buying fish is high, mm-hmm. I still had to subsidize in between there. So I try not to eat too much meat. So when I have chicken on a Sunday, it's chicken alone. In our at Sundays, most people tend to have two sets of meats, mm-hmm. chicken and pork. Mm-hmm. When my household, probably bistro at the side. In my household, it is chicken and chicken alone. Yeah. Because they can't afford to buy pork on a Sunday mm-hmm. and have chicken with it as well. So therefore, we have to cut down the amount we eat in order to get some money to help pay the bills. Mm-hmm.
So the guy was right, you know, we was living in the cost of high living, because why are we eating? I know people in other, I don't like to compare Barbados because we got our own unique situation mm-hmm. here. But some people must see here smile like we talking about it too hard because we can't get two pieces or two sets of meat or one plate. Mm-hmm. No. So yeah. I think this readjusting exercise has its positives, mm-hmm. so to speak.
I think as well, Corey, not necessarily the protein, but I know from speaking to my grandmother on many Sundays going across the church, she always tells me about the things that the older folks used to use to supplement other things they didn't have. Mm. So the whole concept of spinach and rice, it was always there, but sometimes they would use the leaf from the beet, or they would use the top from the carrot as well and put mm-hmm. inside the rice.
Oh, yeah.
I find that a lot of persons don't do that. So I think
garbage. 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 Yeah. I don't know if you eat that. Some people can even
right.
eat that.
And things. That's exactly the point yeah. I was going to make. I think sometimes that still boils onto education too, mm-hmm. right? Because right. you're saying that no. And I've never heard that, right? Mm-hmm. So if I never heard it, then Corey never heard it. Somebody else might not hear it either. So to me, maybe, you know, you talking a lot about the use of the technology and stuff like that. And I feel like it may be worth using the same technology to try to put some ideas out there, because mm-hmm. it may simply be that people are doing what they know to do.
Correct.
And you're saying, not you personally, but people say, oh, these are the choices that people are making. But if you do not know that you have a choice,
knowledge.
Then
number five, you need the Safia, knowledge. Education.
So education to me of
you're showing off, Safia, man. You're stealing all of them.
I think the problem is that, you know what? Mm-hmm. I was poor. Mm-hmm. Talking about your grandmother. Mm-hmm. I was poor. Right. My children come along eating carrot top.
Correct.
So I ain't telling my children eat carrot top. I suffer long enough eating carrot top. My child got eat rice and peas and macaroni pie.
Yes,
true.
Yes, yes.
So that's the problem, Corey. We neglect to teach our children the value of things because then I want a better life for them.
Mm-hmm.
We're making things worse for them because we are not teaching them the knowledge that they need to know in order to survive.
Yeah. Well,
That's a serious one. Because I know even in terms of farming, people say, come up doing this, come up mm-hmm. county. You can't do this because we're supposed to make the next generation better than the
and
last.
Ask the child now where to get chicken from. They can tell you supermarket. Because mm-hmm. they don't know that chicken grow, you know, we farm them. They tell you supermarket. So we need to teach our children and our family how mm-hmm. to survive and do things. We go into the market and buy tea bags. Mm-hmm. You know how much things we can make tea with?
Yep.
We ain't got to buy tea bags. We can make tea with so many things.
Yeah. Still
you know, and all these herbs and things. Salt. And then people say we gain cancer, we gain this, we gain all these diseases can be cured.
We got real free tea.
So buy the things that we need. So you know how much neem leaves don't wait in the post office? Don't go and pick some neem leaves and make some tea. But we ain't got to suffer, Corey.
Bruh, that Sunday, man. This gone in a whole different direction, I thought. But look when it goes this way. Good morning and welcome, Brass. That's Sunday, you on the air. Good morning. As we get close, Elaine, I just want to say, brilliant idea from the gentleman. I like the idea of the digital platform that consumers can see the prices of items across all major supermarkets. As the person on the panel said, it can also include the ordinary man placing his or her items for sale. An app for that.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, sound real familiar. What the folks from New Zealand yesterday. Good morning and welcome, Brass. That Sunday, you're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Yes, please.
You hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Now, I want to lend some support to the senior gentleman that called and made the point about the small farmers and the individuals that would have kitchen gardens and so on, you know, to subsidize income and so on, that a lot of them would go out of, you know, go out of that type of operation. And the I can't remember the name of the gentleman that's your guest. He made reference to looking at getting a container and
now Lorenzo, that boy
and
Lorenzo,
and so forth. I think he missed the point. First of all, you know what is the cost of a 20-foot container? Mm-hmm. And if you were a small person, just have a little backyard garden, where are you going to put a 20-foot container? So I don't know. That suggestion is, I mean, that is over my head. I don't understand how you will do that. another thing, if you just have a couple of trees in your backyard, mango trees or so on, you can take the mango trees and put them in the container too. The monkeys are attacking people's fruit, not only just the ground provisions and so on. If you have trees in your yard or so on, the monkeys are attacking them. So you can't cover everything. You can't put everything on the tarpaulin and do this, you know, do what you are suggesting. You got to be practical.
My thing, I'm glad you say practical. Sir, hold a minute, because I want people listening to get both sides of this thing, right? Now, yeah. I don't like to encourage this defeatist mentality. I'm going to give you some examples, and then I want to use it as a general concept, because it may not work everywhere. I had some guys training in Gibbons Bog with some watermelons and so on, and every time it gets close to reaping, the sheep will come, they will crack it with their mouth, and they will drink it out. Now, my thing was, I got some bait lamb, just now, because there was stray sheep, right? The old gentleman, the old farmer, you know what he did? He took some blue pails, filled them with water, and put them at the ends of the field. Not a watermelon get cracked again. The sheep were thirsty, so they wanted to get this watermelon. A school out there in government, Outway Government, Hillside, they were getting some problems with the monkeys. I did some research. I found out that monkeys are terrified of snakes. We went and buy some rubber snakes, put them, moved them around every couple of weeks. Problem solved. By me, where we operate about 10 acres. Now, I see monkeys on the outskirts, and I realize they don't come, but I got horses on the land. So monkeys, they don't like horses either. So the whole idea is, all I did was some 5-minute research via Google to find out about these monkeys. I understand back in the olden times, people used to use molasses because the monkeys don't like the molasses on the paws and so on. Now, that's what I think, that is our thinking, I think we need to employ. Not a container too expensive, the monkey can do this, the monkey can do that. We have got to look solution oriented. No, this cannot be a problem unique to Barbados. Mm-hmm. People around the world have had to solve these problems. Do a little research and let us solve the problem as opposed to say, let's pull up and just import a whole set of food. Unhealthy food, foreign exchange, all of that.
I think I add some clarity to the gentleman's comment. And I definitely take the point that, you know, you see a disalignment in terms of my response to the other gentleman's suggestion. But the key word I use was complement. So I never said replace what you're going to suggest in terms of culling monkeys, but I asked him if he could possibly complement the efforts, and this is not at the small scale, so the backyard farmer thing, it wasn't to replace them, so that was a clear miscommunication, whether it be on my part, let me apologize.
I just want to finish by saying this.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I think the problem are the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
The solution needs to be, how do we more or less find a way to catch the monkeys and export them? They have a lot of, I'm not going to call any, I'm not going to mention any names, but they have countries that eat cat, dog. Opportunity that we can catch monkeys and export them, sell them and make some money. I am not talking about killing them.
Yeah, okay.
I'm capture them.
Catch as many monkeys as
I could.
I like that idea.
Yeah. But my point was to complement the efforts, not necessarily to replace the efforts of culling the monkeys. And the container suggestion wasn't for the small hoarders, because obviously that is mind-boggling to think that somebody could afford that. But the gentleman was making reference to persons that have acres as well. Not saying they're in the best position. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. You take another call. Brastock Sunday, you're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Now I heard the lady just not talking about the middle class and this getting hurt and this, and you don't got no more middle class because of problems and all kind of thing. But let me tell you something about this pooling together with food. They would never ever get that like years ago where you got tomatoes and give this body next door neighbor. Mm. You know why? We got them as classes, middle class, upper class, lower class. You think a middle class can merge with call the lower class? It's a problem we got here in Barbados with pride. And the times when you used to raise a pig and things, you can't keep a pig in your yard, you can't keep a sheep in your yard, you can't keep a fowl in your yard, because you live in a terrace. But in the same right terrace, you keep a chicken farm. But I can't keep four chickens in my yard. But a man could go out, thousands and thousands of dollars chicken farming in the same right area. So you got a lot of problems in Barbados you can't correct. It's a little island. And a lot of things that you would like to do, you can't do. And now we're trying to fall back on the things that we had to... Look, I'm going to show you something. We make sure that the beaches are very clean for the tourists. Carry all the moss and bury it. And the fish go on to Trinidad. Now you realize that what fish like... Oh, fish like moss. That fish, moss coming down here now and bringing fish that we never see yet. And people enjoying the fish. Where that moss come from, the people going to complain and see the fish left them land too. Because the fish live off moss. And if you don't have no moss, there's no fish. So we prepare the beaches for the tourists. You can't catch the eggs. And the funny excuse and the reason why you can't catch the eggs because if you can't catch them, you ain't got no sea eggs. That wasn't the truth. The truth is if you pick the eggs, the shells will be on the beach and will go in the tourist's foot. That is the problem. So they try to keep the beaches as clean as possible. So
your source of information there is where or what? Because I never heard that. Where you heard that from?
What?
But that the reason they don't let you harvest the sea is because it was sticking to tourists' feet. Like where I never.
You know, what I'm saying, they were trying to keep the beaches as clean as possible for the tourists. Because you don't catch cobblers. But yes, they don't see any now.
But I don't ever hear people really eating the cobblers. They sure eat anything on
but
earth.
What I'm saying is saying that...
I just want to know the source so I could go and check it out. That's all it is.
Yeah. You had something called Johnny Parcels. You had something called Cockle.
Right, I know, yeah. Right, correct. You still see a couple of them. You go fishing, you still see the hard to pull out the shell, yeah. But I just wanted the source. You could share the source?
Beg pardon?
The source of your information.
Well, I from West Bay Road, Skipper.
Oh, that's your source. West Bay Road International. We got everybody. A good morning to everybody, West Bay Road. Thank you, sir. Thank you. This one says, good morning, Corey. Bulk buying is good, but if you use in bulk, then it still defeats the purpose in terms of overall unit costs. Not sure what that one is saying, but let's take another call quickly. Let's get as many calls and then get back to the panel and kind of get back in terms of what we're looking at today. The average person's perspective on the economic adjustments facing Barbados. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, go ahead, I can hear you loud and clear.
Corey.
Yes, please.
Corey, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Glad to be hearing your voice again, man.
Thank you.
No, on this thing with the NSRL, I am wondering if it is that the NSRL is still on these items, or if this thing with the China and America and such like isn't having a negative impact upon us, because we have to buy from them, and every time they put on, China decides, well, look, we can hit America. We can feed it down here too, right? And I believe that is where it is, not necessarily that the merchants here decide not to take off any money of that sort. The next point is...
Before you move on from that, this whole idea of prices is something I'm really serious about, and that's where you help coordinate our consumer effort, because I know how consumers and how profit and so on, whereas someone who travels, you can do price comparison. You understand something called price parity. You understand that there are cases in Barbados where I think that people want to get rich too quick and the profit margins are ridiculous. Now, you can tell me consider the overheads and the oil and what happened overseas, but understand this. This is one point I want you to understand. Merchants can cry out that they have old stock. Merchants can cry out that although the NSRL came off, this went on and that went on. I got to pay more for water, etc., etc. So they can make those excuses. But my problem, my difficulty is this. When the Minister of Finance, whoever he or she is, starts to announce a tax, mid-sentence, prices go up. Mm-hmm. No old stock, no new stock, no in between stock. Yeah. Prices does go up. Hold on a minute, sir. I can finish and I can give the thing completely over to you. Yeah. Now, when it was supposed to come off, you know, at the port, you remember it took them a week to get it off. I sure it ain't take them 6 seconds to get it on. So that is my concern. Even in terms of oil prices, they say when oil go up, the thing got to go up. We see oil come down from near $200 to $40 a barrel. You see oil right now in Barbados? No, you can come with all kind of complicated, no, I mean you, people come with all kind of complicated technical reasons, but there's one single simple reason for that. And I don't have to say it because everybody listening to my voice knows the reason. Continue, sir.
Yeah, but I'm not disagreeing with what you said because I know that happened. I used to work in that field. But I believe that some of it has to do with that. Not only that the merchants are that greedy, that refuse to take off the NSR and such like. But also another point is the St. Lawrence Gap area, where I see some of the business owners in St. Lawrence Gap said that they're coming together and trying to revive the gap. Now I'm a taxi operator, and I usually operate from St. Lawrence Gap. I find that we, the ones who operate in the taxis, that have to deal with the guests, the tourists. We are getting a very raw deal. If you go along St. Lawrence Gap, you recognize that they don't have an area that this is a designated area for parking. In order for us to move the guests, the passengers, whether they are local or tourists, we have to park someplace. And you find that along the paved, what we may call the pavement or the shoulder of the road, most of these same businesses are put in plant pots that no one can park in front of their business, right? So you cannot pull over to pick up people. Most of the time you stop in the middle of the road, the police might come down, or you should pull over. But pull over where? The same police, they are reporting you when you park on the left hand in the St. Lawrence Gap area. I believe that those plant pots need to be removed, that people can park, and we need designated areas for taxi operators where you can operate your taxi from in order to pick up the people. There was once a station sergeant who was working from Worden, and his thing is that he wanted to have from the church up to about the old ship in which no Sharkies for designated as taxi parking. So that when the patrons come out, the restaurants and the clubs and such, like, they won't have to walk too far to get a taxi, right? But this thing never worked out, right? And I think that is something that we need to look into, where those plant pots that people just come, and I don't know how they get away with it, because outside of my yard wall belongs to the government, and I shouldn't have anything there to impede people walking or parking or anything like that.
Like taxis.
Right. Pardon me?
But quick question on the Uber. You're one of these taxi men that support the move to Uber?
No, I don't support it.
Well, you know,
Barbados is too small, but it's Uber. We have too many taxis. We are oversaturated. The market is oversaturated. How are we going to work in Barbados? And all the, you know who you get affected by it too? The same Zara and minibus men too?
I just want to get preliminary comment on it. I didn't study it a lot. I just see it as a discussion here. As someone who came from an Uber place, I found it very convenient. So it's something we're going to look into. But I was just trying to pull a little bit out. But thank you very much. 2 minutes afternoon. I want to say a special good afternoon to all those coming in from church. Well, you prayed for these people that didn't go to church on my panel this morning. But anyhow, I want to remind you of the WhatsApp number. That is 266-4862. That is 266-IVOB, one WhatsApp, and then we take a break. It says, we need to introduce greenhouse farming in every community. Mm-hmm. We need to engage local chefs to show Barbadians how to use local produce. Take sweet potato, for instance. The average Barbadian will stew it, make sweet potato pie or chips. I am sure there are many other ways to use sweet potato. And in the political side, this government came to office with the mantra that you cannot tax an economy out of a recession. They promised to make the country earn again. Now we are seeing that the only thing that has changed is the government. Breakfast items are a major expense for most households, especially if you're into nuggets, patties, etc. I am not buying any breakfast item for $15 that you can only use once. Made pumpkin fritters, bowl joe, fish cakes, fruit, etc. Can you get others to give reasonable breakfast ideas? This would be helpful. When we come back, we'll see. 3 minutes after noon, this is Brass Tack Sunday.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory-painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas, 425-2000, or Lowlands Christchurch, 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brass Tack Sunday. So I'm seeing a lot of ideas. One of the things we didn't throw in there, but it's down as number six, Shamar, in terms of the platform, the technological platform. We didn't take note of that. I think as we move into technology, any way we can use technology really to enhance, because one of the good things about technology, it has this broad coverage and it's usually very inexpensive. So it's something that you can really, really use. So let's go back to the telephone lines and say good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Brother Corey.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, brother.
A lot of people wish you a happy return, but I wish you a happy return, because you can stand you there.
You're right. I feel so too. You don't know I feel so. Go ahead, man.
All right, brother. Listen, you know one thing that got me? You just hear the fish people at the fish market telling you how the sarcasm see we bring this fish. And they got plenty. You know, one thing, you can get turpits at $2 a pound. Mm. Turpits now is $4 a pound. And the new thing now that the fishery, the cast at them, seaweed brain, they're selling $4 or $5 a pound. How them expect people to pay for them? Dolphin, $9 a pound. Mm. This thing, $12 a pound. Next thing, $8 a pound. How people can live?
I see it as an opportunity really for fishermen, first of all. I like to see the opportunities and things first thing, right? I really, in terms of buying fish for me is healthier, but it is getting frightfully expensive. It's really expensive, Dane. You understand? Really, it costs enough money, as Bajans were saying, right? But in terms of the whole idea of using the sea, the blue economy, getting more agreements and with countries in terms of fishing and so on, I wanna point out the opportunity in that. Other people, we could point out the threats or anything that thing, but I want to say that for fishermen in particular, in terms of being professional and getting into business, in terms of registering your boat, registering yourself, there's money out there to be made in relation to fish. It sounds funny. In years gone, but we used to look down on the fishermen. Soon, we can all be looking up to the fishermen. Yep. It can be known, the whole fishing industry and so on is going to be known as something, you know, luxurious just now in terms of how the prices of fish is going.
Well, Corey, if I could jump in to supplement the comments from the gentleman as well, because, you know, fishing is actually with semi-school, so it's something that touches me dearly. In Granville, in Grenada, one of the things that the fishermen did there in recognizing that the seaweed was coming in, they kind of diversify the items that they had to sell as well. So the seaweed actually came in with shrimp as well, small crustaceans and stuff like that. You guys use that, but they recognize that the fish used to catch from close to the shore were going further out. So how to adjust to that? Well, the gentlemen actually build what they call fish aggregation devices. There are some of them down here in Barbados, not in huge quantities. And it's just a float that kind of traps the fish as well. Then they supplemented it with workshops, letting persons know about the size of the fish to catch, because you don't want to catch the juveniles, you want to catch the bigger ones. And then they took another step and actually put in ice boxes as well, so that they could preserve the quality of the fish that they caught and brought back in. And then they had a final training workshop, which taught them about the basic phytosanitary conditions, and now they're exporting to the place like Japan. So I take Corey's point in terms of knowing that fishing is an industry that has money, but we just need to reinforce the infrastructure we have here with the fishermen and show them how we can move forward to make them an exportable and a foreign exchange earning industry.
Which goes back to Safia, education.
Education, knowledge management.
We're not empowering our people. We need to empower the people so they can help themselves.
Yeah. And the traditional way of education, sorry, Carla, I think that we got to look at creative ways of education. Definitely. In terms of reaching people.
Yeah.
You know, we think education, we think about panel discussions and mm-hmm. those sort of things yeah. where 20 yeah. same people turn up to all. Oh. I think we really got to look at how to get the message out. One of the campaigns, I'm reminded of the HIV campaign. Mm-hmm. When we took HIV so serious in this country, we went in every nook and cranny. We had ads, we had t-shirts, we had in school things, we had mm-hmm. ads, they had plays, they had songs, they had everything. I think that sort of education or finding how to reach the different segments, mm-hmm. we got to do that with mm-hmm. this because this is equally important. Yep.
Yeah, and I think the same technology, because the younger mm-hmm. generation, they're going to be more interested in that than maybe turning up to somebody in person stuff, so we got to utilize the same technology as well.
Correct.
And from a grassroots,
I was in the supermarket yesterday. I wanted two girls that I know, big man, pay for this here for my pay for that for my cup, cup for body neck. Is it tomorrow real, real, real expensive?
And that's created one set of social problems.
You know, everybody like some man that we all talking and say, oh, I can do this here, make me later something.
That is what you, that is exactly, you know what, that's exactly what I meant when I say that creates its own social problems. Yeah, this sugar daddy syndrome, it has created a lot of problems. Poverty is a very serious thing. The high cost of living and the cost of high living. Thank you very much. Your caller, Brass That Sunday, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Corey?
Yes, please.
We have an acre ground.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the boat and get newspaper. I put all around my ground with rocks thrown up top of them. I have yam, I have potato, I have corn, cassava, everything. The monkeys just come, but when they see the newspaper, they don't come.
There you go.
Or I put fall down,
mm-hmm.
and they don't come at all. And I got corn there now that I could go and reap. If you come, you could get 6 corn.
I'm coming. Watch your words, Carla. Watch your words.
I have corn. I got potato. I got yam.
What you live?
I got cassava. I got pumpkin. And I got real monkeys. And we say put on a newspaper, they don't come.
I think we're going to come and do a story by you because I think that years gone by, I found that people used to look for solutions. But now we just, and that's not a takeaway for anybody complaining. I feel your pain to plan up something and come and see these wicked monkeys digging up. It's hard.
And the thing is that to come up with solutions is one thing. It's just in knowledge management. It speaks to the transfer of that information over time, correct. So that people can preserve it.
Yeah, from the time I get newspaper and thing, I put them.
Because I hope people that face with her problems listening to her know could go and try it.
You could come and see for yourself.
Okay, I think you better leave your number with the producer. Yeah. So you don't put them. You leave your number with the producer. We got to come and see this. Do a little documentary. So... Brass That Sunday, you're on the air. Let's take another call in the meantime and in between time. Or will you leave your number? Gonna read this one. This one says, hi to all. I believe the tax on the water bill should be paid against the amount used. In this regard, persons will control what they pay. When I hear people speak about giving away crops like years before, I feel proud about my little village where I live in St. Joseph. We share sweet potato, bright fruit, and every crop we have with each other. We let each other know when the plantations are selling crops, and if one can't go, the other will go, dig, and share. I also let and do the same with my co-workers. We go dig potatoes and share them up in bags, and everyone gets a little bit. I don't care how little, but we must be able to share some. I always tell my children, what little you have, someone else has less. Brass That Sunday, good morning. Good afternoon, sorry.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, what's good afternoon. Back? Thank you very much, my dear Vinny.
Good afternoon, dear panel. Corey, what the lady said about newspaper, but Baker Foil do the same job too. They don't go run Baker Foil. Now, I used to keep a kitchen garden, but I just start back now. But, you know, the monkey never interfere with me, and you know where I live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never. They will walk on the wall and go next door. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they do not trouble me. But now, I can't do it anymore, so I did plant a sweet tamarind tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it takes about 5-7 years to grow. And it bear the first year, no monkey come. The second year, the monkey come. I say, wait, where that monkey gone? When I look through the window, it's up on the top of the tree, eating my tamarind. So I said, you see me,
you ain't coming to eat no more. The next week he came and they do. You know, when I went outside looking for the monkey, he was on top of the roof, him on my roof eating him tambourine and chewing down the seeds. So I cut down the tree. Oh. Because there's no way am I going to get anything, not to get something. He won't touch the low one. He's gone all the way up where the lovely big ones is, you know? But all I can say, now, Bajan, I am sorry to say it, Bajan have the land. They have little bit of land around their houses, but they're not using it. Correct. To plant little seasoning, mm-hmm. to plant something that they can help. Instead of you've got in to go to buy shive or thyme or so on, little things you can plant, but no, they won't. All they plant is flowers. Mm-hmm. And I do not plant flowers. I plant things what I can eat.
Mm-hmm. If that's what a change in faces of barbarians with you. A lot of people used to have a lot of things you could eat, mm-hmm. but now they like a lot of ornamentals, and so you know, croutons and stuff
you can't
eat.
You can eat
hibiscus too. So
yeah, hibiscus too.
But thank you, Winnie. Probably the monkeys, they know how to play with you. They probably listen to brass stats and they hear you, they know you, and they say, look, I ain't playing with Winnie at all. But Lorenzo, I know you plan a lot. But let me ask this question. To the Barbadian out there listening, say, look, I go to work. I work hard. I come. I ain't got no time to look at the crops or anything. What do you say to that particular person?
To be honest, when I think about backyard farming, Corey, I know some people may not have the time. But I still emphasize that sometimes it takes less than 10 minutes or less than 5 minutes to give it water. There's also drip irrigation, which is another system where you could just come home, maybe turn on a pipe, turn on a tap. Sometimes the taps are, most times, 95% of the times the taps are on the outside. You could configure it so the taps are on the inside as well. Just turn the tap for 5 minutes or so, hopefully you don't fall asleep, but it's drip irrigation, so it wouldn't come out in huge quantities. And just turn it off again. Two of the easiest things to plant, which I don't see many persons plant around the house, spinach and shives. Mm-hmm. Spinach and shives. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Leave them out. A little bit of water. Shives can probably go a couple of days before giving them water again. Same thing with spinach. So I understand that people work hard. People have multiple jobs. Some of them want a job that's very extensive. But I think that someone can find maybe 5 minutes in every day to just throw a little water on the plants.
I'm not encouraging people to use the water to wet the plants, let them catch the rain water. Because we just say we put in the bill based on how much you use. So we ain't encouraging people to use the water. We want the bills low.
Only in dry season, like God, catch it.
Right, so catch the rain water and use it.
We changed a lot. I remember in primary school, you had a lot of spinach on the galvanized. I remember you used to pull them off and eat them. You know that show of Popeye? You eat the spinach. Remember eating spinach off a lot of people? But no, you don't see anything so at all. Yeah. So I think that getting back to these things cannot be impossible. Mm-hmm. And there's, again, the positive of adjustment. This one here says, welcome back, Corey. I'm very impressed with the variety of views, the panel and moderators. I personally feel that water rate should be looked at. I should be paying about 80 cents a day and not 150 because I have a sub well and I am not attached to any sewage line. I'm building a house and have not used the water for 6 months and I'm still paying the same price as the other persons. Mm. So a lot of some people really feel really hard done because the equitable approach is what people don't mind paying, but I want to pay where they think they should be paying. You know what I say? There we go again. Brass Sunday, you're on the air.